The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. After Little Richard's recent death, James reflects on a 1979 interview with the architect of rock and roll.
Then I realized that Jesus was talking to me. He was letting me know, first of all, that my body was the temple of the Holy Ghost, that I was bought with a price, that I didn't belong to myself, that I belonged to God first by creation, by redemption. He bought me back.
The complicated and changed life of a prodigal child.
I don't care what you are, give your life to Jesus and he will change your life.
I want to welcome you to this program. You do not want to miss this. I'm James Robinson, my wife Betty, Life Today. You're going to see the guy you married. And you know, when she saw some of this, like what you're going to see, she said, "Wow, you were good looking." I said, "Well, thank you a lot. I still think you're beautiful."
Your hair was a little bit darker than mine.
Was a little bit dark. Hey, let me just say this to you. And you know, this, I'm going to take you back. I'm going to show you some black hair. Same hair, and this is it. It hasn't had any extra touch on it. You're going to go back and see a miracle. I'm not kidding you. You're going to see one of the biggest, most famous rockers of all time. Many people say he's the guy that launched rock. Rock music. It's Little Richard. And what you need to understand is that 41 years ago, he had a head-on collision. And then he came to me. He found me. And he wanted to tell me what happened. And I said, "Well, I'm preaching at North Phoenix Baptist Church. It's a big church." So I said, "Just come to the church tonight and tell us." And then after he told us, he went up and sang hymns. And then he just traveled with me. And we could probably show you how you can listen to him singing and leading the choir. That'll have to be another time. But it's a miracle. I want you to listen to this. This is a Little Richard with James Robinson, 41 years ago. And keep your seatbelt buckled. You need to listen to this testimony. It's totally miraculous. Little Richard.
People are an exciting way filling the auditorium now of the North Phoenix Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona. Dr. Richard Jackson is the pastor of this church, and I have as my guest tonight Little Richard, rock and roll singer, star of the 50s and the 60s. And he's had a tremendous change in his life. Richard, we're glad to have you with us tonight.
Thank you, James.
When did the change occur in your life?
About 3 years ago now.
What happened?
Well, what happened to me, I was a very heavy dope user. I started off using marijuana. You know, some people say just a little, just try it. So it took a long time before I really tried it. And so I finally I tried it. And I went from marijuana to pills, Valiums, Red Devils, Bennies, Truanols, whatever. I started drinking, you know, vodka and orange juice.
This is while you were a rock singer.
Yeah, I was still a rock
and a star,
singer. That's right. And I just started to just using everything. And I went from that to cocaine. I spent $1,000 an ounce for this drug. And sometime a little more than that. And I would take so much of this drug, I didn't feel comfortable without this drug. And I would just take it, and I would take what you call, some people call this drug toot, some people call it blow, but it's cocaine. And I would take what you call a one-in-one, and sometime I would blow my nose, and you would see flesh and blood on my handkerchief, where it would just eating up out my membranes, out my head, and I know it was doing something up in my head with my brains. But I didn't stop there, James. I went on down to heroin. Some people call it the boy. And I started using that, and I started mixing heroin and cocaine together, making what you call a speedball. And I just got more and more engrossed into these drugs and heavier into them.
You know, many people seem to indicate that drugs is the greatest high physically a person has. How does this affect the sexual activity of an individual on drugs? Is it a part of sexual impurity? Is it a substitute for sexual impurity? Do they go hand in hand? What happens?
I believe that when I was a little boy, I used to hear the old people say that people used to get drunk to speak their sober minds. I think that drugs is a way for people to, they do what they want to do. They wanted to do it before they taken these drugs. And the drugs give them the boldness, mm-hmm. where they don't care about anything. You know, through drugs, you can kill, you can deny, you can hurt, you can crush, you can do anything to anybody and you don't feel no pain. Through these drugs, it makes you want to do... I know some people that don't want to have sex with their wives until they have drugs. I know some people that can't do the different type of sexual acts unless they are high on drugs.
But they go hand in hand. One's not a substitute.
They're together. They're definitely together because a person can get high. They have this Quaalude out here, and then they have this drug now that they call Sherman, mm-hmm. a Sherm cigarette. It's a brown cigarette that they dip it in stuff called juice, mm-hmm. and they smoke it, and it takes their mind. And when a person take those drugs, you can make them do anything that you want them to do.
Goodness. What brought you to the point in your life when you realized that you were on a road literally not only to physical destruction but to spiritual destruction? What brought about the change? What preceded this change or led you to this point of commitment?
Well, I had got so strung out, James, into homosexuality. I had gotten so just, I was really gone. My mother, God bless her, she really don't know how far her son had went.
God,
you
yes.
know, I'm just so glad that daddy didn't marry a man. Do I wouldn't be here today to tell you what God has done for me. I got so wrapped up in it to really, my body said that I was a man, but my mind said something else. And the only people that I enjoyed being around was people that was perverted.
Goodness.
And people that most entertainers are perverted one way or another. Mm. Most of them are, and most of the, a lot of the managers are, and a lot of the record producers are. And so what they do, they tie hand in hand, so you go into the studio, they give you cocaine, you get high, and then you do your act.
You never ACD. Found satisfaction.
It wasn't no satisfaction. I was sick. I had to stay high all the time to feel like a natural person. I had to just be, and it's a sickness, because you would feel bad when you do it, and after a while you get so you don't hear that little voice no more.
All right, what happened? What led you to commit your life to Christ, which that is what happened?
Yes.
But what preceded that, and tell me about your experience with Christ.
Well, what happened was, I was appearing one night at Magic Mountain in Los Angeles, and I had a friend of mine named Little Gus. He called my brother and made reservations to come to hear me at Magic Mountain. But we waited, my mother came, my brother came, my sisters came, but Little Gus never did arrive. We waited on him and we waited, but he never did get there. And we got a call that night from his mother, said that Little Gus had gotten shot. Later on that night, we got a call that he had gotten killed. He died. He got shot at the Heron's Man house. Then I have another friend named Curly Knight that he was in Los Angeles. He was a light-complected black man. And they said these 15-year-old boys thought he was white. It really don't matter what color he was. He was a man that Jesus made and Jesus died for. They took him and put him in the trunk of the car, drove him over the city, and he could hear them talking about how they was going to kill him. They went and got the butcher knife, cut him up, put him between two houses, called the policeman and told the policeman that they found a dead man. Mm. But what the policeman didn't know, that they are the ones that killed him. Mm. Then I had another friend that my birthday is December the 5th. I went to his house, and I wanted to get a little cocaine for my birthday, and his birthday was in October, the last of October. I got to his house, and when I got there, when I got ready to leave, he said, take care of yourself, old man. I went back and I said, I'm not old. And he said, still take care of yourself, old man. I got home that night, my brother called me and told me this man had died. I said, no, he's not. I said, I just saw him. He said, oh, yes, he's dead. Then I had to go to Miami, Florida. Ike and Tina Turner had an engagement in Miami, Florida, and they couldn't go. So I went in Tina Turner's place. I went there and I sung. I came back to Los Angeles. When I got back to Los Angeles, my brother had told me he wanted to borrow some money. He was a school teacher. And so when I got back there, I went and checked in a hotel because I wanted to let it all hang out. I just wanted to ball and just get wrapped up in sin. So I went out and I did that. And they was looking for me the next day because my brother went out. He walked his little boy and he watered his lawn and he came back in and had a massive heart attack. Then I realized that Jesus was talking to me. He was letting me know, first of all, that my body was the temple of the Holy Ghost, that I was bought with a price, that I didn't belong to myself, that I belonged to God first by creation, by redemption. Now, he bought me back, and that he wanted me to live the way that he wanted me to live, that he had set a door before me that no man can shut. He was letting me know that what the Bible says in Mark 8, 36 and 37, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give God in exchange for a soul? He was letting me know that the Bible says in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verse 1, that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. More than love and favors, rather than silver or gold, the rich and the poor mix together, God is the maker of them all. Then he was telling me in Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you.
Amen.
And I'm just glad that I heard the voice of Jesus calling.
Amen.
And I realize today that he specialized in the impossible. If God can change me, if he can work a transformation in my life, he can change anybody.
Has he delivered you from drugs and from those perverted habits?
Yes, he has. All the way.
He gives you the power to overcome.
All the way.
If a person says that they're a Christian, but they can't cease practicing homosexual acts or drugs or alcohol, something's wrong, isn't
it? They're not a Christian.
I believe that.
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. See, if a man, and the Lord tells you to lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience that is set before us. If
Amen.
A man is in Jesus, he's not a homosexual, don't know Jesus. Jesus loved him, but Jesus wants to save him out of his sin, not in his sin. Jesus don't love what he's doing. Jesus wants him to say no to that and to say yes to him.
Amen.
Betty, my hair was
it's
as black as Little Richard. Let me just say this to you. Let me talk to you a moment here. He had a miraculous transformation from darkness to life. Could you believe Little Richard, Tootie Fritty Old Rudy, all those songs he sang, that kind of an encounter brought the Word of God out of him like it did? He'll do the same for you. If you don't know Jesus, just say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord, my Savior. I believe you died for me. Forgive me. Give me life. It's a simple prayer that Jesus says, you come as a child or you don't come. You don't have all the explanations, but you can experience his forgiveness. Do you know one of the greatest evangelists was a Sam Jones, a Methodist evangelist. He was an alcoholic. Do you know what Sam said all the way to his death? He said, I always believed I'd still die in the gutter, an alcoholic. He said he walked by a bar one night and looked in. He looked up at God and said, God, I don't think I can ever take looking there again, ever. I don't think I'm going to make it. You don't realize there are a lot of people that battle with eating, with their weight, with their self-image, with how they feel about themselves. And they just live covered with shame. And so often the church heaps more shame on people who struggle. I want you to know that God wants to lift the load of that shame and that guilt. When that prodigal was in that pig pen, shaming the family name, wasting all that he had been given, that father didn't see a dirty boy in a pig pen. He saw a boy loved by the father, desired back into the family. Back home. That's the way God looks at all of us. Little Richard drifted away from the Lord for a period. I've watched many people do that. I've drifted. I've failed. I've fallen flat. Like Beth Moore says, you can either be thrown in a pit, fall in a pit, circumstances, or end up in the pit you dug with your own misdeeds. I've been in pits all those ways, and God never stopped loving me. I told some of the greatest Christians, if you fail, I'm going to be on the edge of the pit you dug, leaning down with Jesus, trying to lift you up. I'll probably jump in the pit, grab you around the waist, and try to lift you up a little closer to Jesus, inviting you to come back to his arms. Well, little Richard got away, but little Richard came back. He died just a short time ago. Many of you knew that. But I want you to listen to the last message. I want you to listen to Little Richard a couple of years ago, and you just see where Richard lived and where he ended up. Watch with gratitude. This is the grace of God.
Don't you know ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that you, the whole world, you talking about winning the lottery? Everybody's trying to win the lottery. Let's make a deal. God want to make a deal with you. His deal is everlasting life. Yes. Everlasting life. He's going to give you a mansion that he built for you. Okay. He built it for you, you and you. It don't matter. Ain't no racism in heaven. None. You know, I just think about how the boys used to make fun of my mother, because my mother's real fair. She's Indian. She's Mohegan Indian, and she's real like you. That's where my mama looked. The guys used to talk about my mama, but I loved her, you know? That was my mama. But I found out something, that if you live for Jesus, you love everybody. Amen. If you live for Jesus, you may have been hateful and hate with hatred, but if you live for Jesus, I remember I used to have all that in me. I'm from Macon, Georgia. I would be treated real nasty, and I would try to get revenge. But I read what Jesus said, vengeance is mine and I shall repay. Okay. I learned that love covers everything. It covers it all, brothers and sisters. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. I don't care if you're a drunk. I don't care if you're a thief. I don't care what you are. Give your life to Jesus and he will change your life.
And when, as Little Richard and all of us who follow Jesus know, when we fail, we fall, we miss the mark, which we do, he's so anxious to restore us and hold us. I don't know where you are in your journey right now. If you don't know the Lord, invite him to be your Lord. Just say, God, I know you gave your son to die for me. You raised him to live in me, and I want him to. You want somebody to pray with you? Well, there's a prayer line. You see the number? Just share your heart, and they'll pray with you, help you bear the load with in prayer to lift it up to God, who will lighten the load. Just remember, no matter where you are in your journey, God loves you. His love is boundless, unconditional, and never-ending. You know what we get to do that Betty is as great a joy? And, you know, when you've been in ministry nearly 60 years, we've experienced a lot of incredible, joyful moments. Yeah. Beautiful family. We have a daughter in heaven. You know that, lose her nearly 8 years ago. That was as great a blow as you can have, a perfect girl. Said goodbye to the mother of three teenagers. And they're all beautiful teenagers. Now grown families, just amazing. Betty said, we've seen the highs and the lows. But the greatest joy you and I found was reaching out to the least of these, the people that thought nobody ever noticed, and extending hands of love and giving them a drink of water, a well of water, or giving them food. And telling about the reason, the love that's in our heart, and watching everything change. I want you to just glance back with us at those moments when we saw a need that love could meet, and we shared it, and you met it. You were the channel through which God flowed his love and his life freely. And you gave life now and for all eternity. To the least of these, the overlooked, the too often forgotten. And you are the most amazing people. You who listen right now, I'm telling you, God knows I'd like to. I know we're not even supposed to shake hands, get a mask on or whatever, but I'd love to pull you close and tell you thanks for all the people you've pulled up into the arms of God's love. Thank you. Watch this closely, and let's continue doing that.
I am by a water source that is so typical of water sources all over the world. We know for a fact in this area, disease is killing entire families and many children. Why? From drinking contaminated water.
And you know, it's one thing to say, oh, I'm sorry and weep over it. But you know, when we can be the answer to the need and the prayer, doesn't it seem sometimes just a little bit hypocritical if we could do something and we don't? Well, we can, but we need your help.
For over two decades, the viewers of Life Today have partnered with missionaries all around the world to help save children's lives by providing clean drinking water. Mission Water for Life has drilled over 6,500 clean water wells with an assortment of rigs in different shapes and sizes to meet the needs of a particular area. Each new water well is encased to prevent contamination and capped with a simple pump that even a child can operate. Life Outreach and its partners have already helped provide clean water to more than 6.5 million people. But we still have a big job to do. Around the world, hundreds of millions of people still don't have access to safe drinking water. And hundreds of children die every day from a preventable disease caused by contaminated water.
Jesus said, "Give a cup of water in my name, you won't lose your reward." I don't know what that reward will be for us. That's in God's hand. But I know what reward is in it for the people we give water to. The reward is a chance. It's hope. It's a future. The reward is life. And Betty, hasn't it been as great a joy to know that when we give, just like that water you saw at the end, that we give those children and their families water, we have just witnessed a miracle. Isn't that a tremendous joy?
It really is. And James, I have to say, all those trips we've made over there to see these precious little ones and to see these mothers filled with joy when they see that their babies are going to live a little bit longer because we've drilled water wells. And to see that water, fresh water, come up out of the ground that God made for these precious little ones. And to see the children jump around and play, they're so excited. It's like Christmas Day to them. And to see those mothers so happy because their children are getting fresh, clean water. And to not have to go down to that old dirty hole again and drip, bring up that dirty water that they know eventually will kill their little ones. And it breaks their hearts. But to have the joy, but we couldn't do it without you. You see, you've been right there with us as we've done these, drilled these water wells. You've seen the life come forth with that water of life and God's word to be expressed through giving and sharing. And you've been a big part of that. Well, we're asking again, because there needs to be some more water wells drilled. We need you to join with us again. And let's please bring the water of life to these people.
You know, Betty, as I listen to you and I just watch you, I just thank God that you got such a heart for the Lord, a love for your family, but also a love for people that I remember you were really afraid when we went to mission field, and it was scary. I mean, we had AK-47 fights in the street outside our old run-down rooms, and I was held hostage 3 times, and we never talked about it. But Betty was hurt real bad because she got to ride the jump seat in all the four-wheel drive trucks where there were no roads, and it herniated 2 discs to where, had you not bought a Life Angel, a transport plane for goods, where she could lay down instead of sitting in a seat, the neurosurgeon told us she would likely have been paralyzed. So, but she went back. After the surgery, she went back. But you see, you saved her life and her health. You saved her from being paralyzed. But she went to the mission field because of the love of God. And you're the ones right now that enable us to keep giving that water. Would you help us finish the 350 wells right now? We need a miracle. They're 4,800 each. Would you go get your bank card or your check? Would you drill a well? Would you give part of a well? Could you give a $1,200 gift and pray somebody joins you? 3 people who got a well, or 2,400 and pray one joins? Most of the gifts that come are $48. That gives 10 people water the rest of their life. There's a level at which you can help. Would you go get your bank card right now and dial that number? Or go online and make the gift God puts on your heart? Would you please? Betty and I were able to join those missionaries seeking to get God's arms of love around the overlooked. But it's the love of God through you that gives all the positive effect. We couldn't drill the water wells without you. Please make the gift God put on your heart now. Do it now. Thank you.
Dirty, diseased-filled water. How desperate would a mother need to be to consider giving this contaminated substance to her child? For many mothers and their families living in extreme poverty, this is their only choice. With your help, they won't have to make this choice ever again. Mission Water for Life provides clean, disease-free water for thousands of children and their families, giving them a life free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish the final 150 water wells this year. Your gift of $48 will help provide water for 10 people. $72 will provide for 15. $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. And a gift of $4,800 will help sponsor a complete well, serving up to 1,000 people. With your gift, we'll send you Today is a Good Day seasonal devotional set. Broken out into the four seasons of the year, this beautiful set features a daily scripture, inspirational thoughts, and a place for you to journal your own thoughts, prayers, and insights from God's Word. With your gift of $100 or more, request the leather-bound, life-giving Proverbs Journal, filled with wisdom and daily encouragement from Proverbs, including lined pages for your personal notes. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request a Mother's Strength bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, we just say in behalf of all the mothers and families and lives saved, thank you. The incredible journal with the Proverbs and the wisdom of Proverbs, is you're going to love it. The devotionals, but I hope many of you will ask for this. This is a very powerful bronze. This is a mother's strength, carrying water. Hopefully this is clean water that you provided with a child on her back. We're giving that to those of you who will make at least a $1,200 gift. I hope many of you will do that. Thank you so much. Betty, thank you for being such an incredible missionary inspiration yourself. And thank all of you for making it possible. Thanks for watching Life Today. Thanks for sharing it.
Think you could be in that place where you could actually say, God, I don't like this, I don't understand this, but I love you in the midst of this.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.